Hey guys, welcome back to Somebody's Mama Podcast. We're your hosts, Kendra
and Nicole.
Thank you guys for joining us for another episode. As you can see, we have a special guest in the building. Say hello to Miss Karen.
Hey.
Hi guys.
Before we get started, I'll just give a little disclaimer. You guys know our kids carry a lot of germs. Okay. And I am getting over a cold, so I sound a little nasally. So I hope you guys can just forgive that. If you guys are listening to the recording and I sound a little weird, that's why.
That's it, that's all.
So I just wanted to go ahead and get that out of the way because I know it sounds weird. But I feel fine. Okay. Yeah, so we just wanted to welcome Karen in the building. You guys, I'm going to introduce her really quickly. Karen is a therapist, an author, a speaker. She has her own wellness store. I'm actually wearing some of her brand today. She also specializes in women's maternal mental health, and she's extremely passionate about supporting women on their mental health journey, on their self-care journey. She really promotes self-care. She has shared her story through a journal, and she's doing some amazing things with mental health, but also in motherhood. She is a mother. She has a beautiful daughter. So we're so excited to speak to her today, to celebrate all the amazing things that she's doing, but also to grab a listening ear. This is Maternal Mental Health Month in the month of May. So we just wanted to bring some awareness, learn some new things, get some clarity about things, and just have a good time. So thank you, Karen, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so if there's anything that you wanted to add, just a little bit about your background, we're here to get to know you. So if there's anything else you wanted to add to our listeners.
Yes.
Sure. So I'm a psychotherapist. My background is in social work, and I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I do have an advanced certification in perinatal mental health, which is the specialty of focusing on pregnancy until about a year postpartum. We've learned that that's a very vulnerable time for women where a lot of mental health and medical challenges arise. And so women need a lot of support. And unfortunately, in the United States, we haven't been giving women all the support that they need. So there's been a lot of like initiatives and push to really promote maternal mental health, especially in that perinatal time period. So as you mentioned, I'm very passionate about maternal mental health. I also do share about my fertility challenges and my journey to motherhood. And so one of my additional specialties is supporting individuals who are going through fertility challenges. That is also a very complicated time. And the grief and loss associated with fertility challenges is one that not many understand. And a lot of people need extra support during that time. So for me, my journey through therapy, I've worked in a lot of different capacities. I don't think I ever thought I would end up in this specialty, but I love it here. It is definitely my passion, my purpose. And yeah, I'm just enjoying this journey.
Yes, that's beautiful, Karen. As moms, I know we often think about, you know, our postpartum journeys and how we could have done it differently or our pregnancies. And something I always talk to Kendra about is like when you're pregnant, you go through it and then you don't even realize, oh, I could have got help here, got help there. With such an extensive background that you have, what made you want to focus specifically on maternal mental health? Like, what was it that was like, you know what, I want to make my actual focus right here? What made you decide that?
Yeah, so my background, I started out working for LA County, and I was actually working a lot of high-risk programs and field-based programs. I was working with individuals who were in and out of jail, who had excessive homelessness in their history, excessive hospitalizations. I was part of the PET team, or we call it PMRT in LA County. So the therapist that will go out and assess if someone's having a mental health crisis and decide if the individual needed to be placed on a hold or not. And then I transitioned into LAUSD, and that's where I am now. And I do more school-based therapy. And honestly, for a while, I didn't really know. I know that I knew I wanted to get my private, have a private practice. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about like all of my experience. And when you go in private practice, you don't want to have very challenging situations in private practice because you don't have backup often in private practice. So it's not really even recommended. It could be actually seen as unethical if you are supporting individuals who you don't even have the capacity to fully, you know, support. So I'm looking at my background like, girl, you know, your background is intense. Like, you know, your brain needed a lot of support. It was a team effort to support the individuals that you were supporting. Even though that's a passion of yours, you can't sustain that, you know, in private practice. And so I was starting my private practice right along the same time I was actually going through IVF. And it was, I really think that I kind of birthed this idea, you know, as I was having my child, like I birthed two things, at, you know, at one time. And I, as I looked, as I was pregnant, I just, I actually wasn't really focused on my challenges and how I was having a hard time and how I was processing things and how I didn't want to really process it or share my processing. I just wanted to be like, hey, I'm happy. I'm finally pregnant. You know, everything's great, even though I had a horrible pregnancy. My pregnancy was so hard, but I just was so focused on, let me just show face. I mean, I wanted this so bad. I don't want people to see that I'm really struggling. And so when I finally reflected on my journey to motherhood, it just like, it clicked. I was like, gosh, like I, a whole therapist who's supporting people day in and day out, didn't provide or didn't even recognize the amount of support that I needed during that very crucial time. So I would say that's where the idea sparked after I had my daughter and I started reflecting on my time and being a new mom. And a year after she was born, we were in a pandemic. There was just so much happening. And I realized that I needed support that I didn't get. And I really was like, okay, I want to make sure that one, I could take care of myself, but that I start to support individuals that are on this journey because it's needed. It's really needed.
Yeah, that's so important because as we were preparing for today, I was thinking about that too. Like, there's a lot of things that we go through as moms and we kind of just like shake it off or we, we're, you know, we try to show face or we suppress it because we don't want to accept it or we don't want to seem ungrateful for the process. And we can overlook a lot of those symptoms that are telling us like, hey, you might need a little more support. So like, what would you say are some of those typical symptoms? Because I think a lot of times we normalize things because people tell us like, oh girl, yeah, that's normal. Like, yeah, you're gonna go through that through your pregnancy, but it's still traumatic.
Like, I still need help.
Like, you know, and so, just for us and for our listeners, like, what are some typical signs that we can look for that say like, okay, you might need a little additional support?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I always just answer that with, if you or people in your life notice that your daily functioning is impaired, then maybe you need some help, right? So sometimes we don't notice that our daily functioning is impaired. But our partners, our friends, our parents, people are like, hey, like you just really seem very stressed. You seem like you can't focus. You seem very irritable. You can't really remember tasks. You're forgetting to eat. You're not sleeping. So like your basic needs are not, are being met, but they're impacted significantly. I say that for sure at that point, you should get some support. Now, before we get to that point, if you're recognizing it, you know, if you're just noticing that you're maybe a little bit on edge or really tearful, you're crying, you're overly like impacted by things that normally wouldn't impact you, it could be hormonal. It could be, you know, it could be as simple as that. But that doesn't mean that you don't need support and you don't deserve some support, even if it's not like a clinical, you know, diagnosis. So that's, you know, I think it depends on the person, but that's like my generic answer that I think that anyone could hold on to. You know, if you or someone in your life that cares about you is concerned about your daily functioning, I definitely would say it's time to get some support.
And I know a lot of times we associate that with like postpartum or postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. How long like does that last? Because some of those things you were describing, I'm like, I kind of still be going through that right now, you know? And so I think it's a misconception sometimes that postpartum is just like that first year after pregnancy, but it can last a pretty long time. Can you share?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So in the therapy medical world, they do focus on postpartum being that 1 year after pregnancy. And I think that's really generic. Most therapists will talk about postpartum is a journey. Postpartum, you could be in your postpartum journey. Everything after you have a baby could be, right, you know, a postpartum journey, right? And you could have challenges. I think medically they focus on that first year because of the hormonal and chemical challenges or changes in your body as a woman or a birthing person. But we know that toddler years are hard, early, you know, kid years are hard, teenage years are hard. Like, there's a lot of stages in parenting, right, and all of them have their challenges. So as far as there being a chemical or a hormonal imbalance and you needing medical attention, that is typically after 2 weeks after you have your child to about the first year of your child's birthday. That's where we see a lot of chemical shifts that can be medically cause you to have mental health challenges as a mom. So that's where we see the postpartum depression, the postpartum anxiety, other postpartum type mood disorders, and then the one that people have been talking about recently, like the postpartum psychosis, which is very rare, but that typically will happen after about 3 months and then that 1 year mark.
Karen, something I was always kind of curious about is during actual pregnancy or even giving birth, is there something that you see that happens often or a symptom that happens often that can kind of trigger somebody or cause them to be kind of concerning to really spark that spiral of mental health and having issues? Like, is there something that you see specifically that stands out that causes that effect? Does that make sense?
There are, I think what you're probably talking about, like risk factors, like there's definitely risk factors, right? So if you have a history of maybe depression, a history of anxiety, a history of bipolar disorder, then we are trying to provide extra support because we've seen that just the stress of pregnancy, the stress of early motherhood, parenthood could be very challenging. Even the hormonal changes actually can spark certain episodes, especially with individuals who are struggling with bipolar disorder. So we are looking at that, and we definitely encourage, I do work with people who are pregnant and they want to get that extra support. They want extra eyes on them so that they are going into their delivery and that postpartum time with just extra support. And so preventative is always, you know, better than intervention if you can be preventative. Other risk factors can be socioeconomic status, domestic violence, lack of support. If you go into preterm labor, that's something that we want to provide those parents with a lot of support. That's a very stressful time. There's different risk factors that we look out for that can put you in a larger category to struggle with the maternal mental health challenge.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. Because I know there's I know a lot of people right now that are in the process of trying or wanting to get pregnant. And so to just know what they're getting into, I think is really helpful.
Yeah. And know what to look for. Because like I said, a lot of times we just say this is normal or whatever. And then sometimes you also ask why is this happening to me? You know, like having a baby is supposed to be beautiful. Yeah. Like this is supposed to be the best time of your life, whatever, you know, like things that a lot of it is glamorized. And then we don't really talk about the nitty gritty of it all. And I think conversations like this are so important because we're able to not just normalize the things that are happening, but to let you know that you're not alone in your journey. And like, it's not just happening to you. Like, cause a lot of times you feel like, why is this happening to me specifically? Because everybody else looks like they're having a good time.
Right. Because
no, absolutely.
I was watching a clip that you shared on Instagram of Adrienne Bailon, where she was, you know, going through her journey. And then she, you know, it's always at the dinner table. It's always like at the brunch. It's kind of like always, you know, in secret about what people are going through. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if more people understood that, hey, you're not the only one. There's a lot of other women that are experiencing the same thing. So I really like that you shared that on your page as well, because it's just the more transparency to the situation, the better.
Yeah. And the absolutely. More we're not just like going nuts. Like, you know, it's like, it's so much to do because you're trying to keep up with the baby.
Yeah.
You're trying to keep up with your body. You're trying to take care of your mental health, but that's stressful because sometimes
you're not getting sleep.
Yeah, you can't sleep. You're trying to find someone to get the help, or there could be a financial situation to where, you know, you can't get the help. And I do want to talk a little bit more about that later, the resources. But but also I wanted to ask, like, oh, actually that is the next thing I want to ask. like, you know, we talked a lot about support, and like, for people who are listening, who maybe have people in their life that are suffering or that are going through this, how can they support? Like, what are some things that we can do as a village or friends or family to support people through their maternal mental health journey?
I love that, because community care is so important. I always say that there's no self-care, especially in motherhood, without community care. If no one's stepping up to come over, to hold the baby, to wash the laundry, to make sure you're eating, like, how are you going to be able to step away and take care of yourself? So I think the first thing is, it's important for us to really step up and support mothers. We need to get back to that village type of mentality and understanding that coming over when someone has a new baby is not just about looking at the baby like, oh, how cute. And you sitting down and you're like, okay, what you got in your fridge? No, come with some food. Like, come bring food, you know, come to help, come hold the baby, like, go, you know, go take a nap. I got this. Like, just be prepared to help with whatever the person needs help with. I think also validating, right? Just validating someone's feelings. So often we get caught up in wanting to make people feel better. And so we minimize what they're saying. And we're missing a very maybe key opportunity to hear them and to provide that safe space for them to really share what's on their mind. Motherhood is one of those, you know, titles where, like you said, on social media, it's just like glorified and everything's so happy and everyone acts like they don't ever freak out and scream and like, you know, cry in the closet and know, like want to just run away. Like, real feelings. There's real things that happen. There's real emotions. We feel guilty about some of the emotions we have. And we have to be able to allow people to share that without judgment, without us feeling uncomfortable, and we, you know, basically shorten what they're saying by just, oh girl, but you got this, like, you'll be okay, like, this is nothing, this is the fun stage, wait till they get three, like, this is, girl, that's, you know, no, I hear you, just validate that, like, no, it could be rough, I'm sorry, you know, maybe my experience wasn't like that, I'm really sorry, I see that you're struggling, how can we help you? I think that we have to really ask people how we can support them. And to me, that's key.
That's so important. And it's having these conversations that are going to help us to get in that mindset of, let's not do that, let's do this. Because it's so easy. It's so easy to just say, like, girl, you'll be all right. I went through that too. And we have to recondition our minds to think like, yeah, I may have gone through that, but I didn't have to suffer the way I suffered.
Absolutely. Like,
there are other things that we can do. Let me help you through this. Or what can I do for you to lift the load? Like you said, I didn't even know about, there's like a, not a food chain, but like a, I forget what they call it, like a meal train or something where people mm-hmm. can sign up to like bring food and like, yep. Or just giving gift cards. Like I remember when I had Bryson, people were just giving us gift cards. Mm-hmm. And so we can order Uber Eats or like you said, come over and do the laundry or, you know, like yeah. just figuring out how we can support people instead of just, you know, disregarding or not disregarding, but minimizing.
Yeah. Because truth be told, I feel like a lot of times people are not honest about what they're going through in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's like, first of all, you're minimizing what they are willing to share. So you can only yeah. imagine what they're actually going through. You right. know, people don't always yeah. just share the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like you said, really important to just step in there and be the village without any questions or without minimizing. Mm-hmm. But what I really wanted to talk to you about also while we're here is your guided journal, mm-hmm. the baby journey. And if you could just share with us how you decided to, you know, sit down and write the guide and like what made you do that mm-hmm. and how it just all came together.
Woo. So that's my other baby. The journal is my other baby, my second baby. So when I was trying to conceive, I like journaling. Journaling is kind of my thing. I don't do it as formal as I used to do it. But sometimes I just jot down how I feel in the moment. You know, it could be on my phone. It could be in a journal. It could be an email to myself. But I jot down how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, just, you know, thoughts. And I had some entries during my journey of trying to conceive. So my husband and I tried to conceive for 4 years. And, you know, trying to conceive, let me just say that whole term is, you know, if you're timing intercourse, you know, so.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So for 4 years, actually like timing intercourse, and we were unsuccessful. So after trying a few methods, we finally were, we decided to do IVF. And so when I fast forward to my journal, I call it a memoir meets guided journal. And so it is basically me taking little excerpts or actually I'm actually taking my entries and expounding on them to create little excerpts for the journal. So the journal is me sharing parts of my journey and also providing more like psychological and therapeutic terminology. So explaining how this whole grief and life cycle works, how trauma can work within fertility challenges, the importance of social support and self-care and cognitive distortions. So basically my personal experience, I use my professional experience and with these short chapters, I'm guiding people with sharing my story in hopes that I can help them feel validated. And then I leave them with some guided questions so that they can process how they're maybe feeling during that phase of the journey. And so after I had my daughter, my initial idea, honestly, was to interview other people who are struggling with fertility challenges and getting their like short stories. So that was my idea, was short stories and then guided questions. And so who knows, one day I may circle back to that.
Part two.
But COVID, yeah, that's
good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I wanted different experiences, right? Like just mm-hmm. different types of couples, women who are doing it on their own, you know, younger, older, I just want different, like just experiences because the journey is complex. Everyone on the journey is not going through similar, exactly the same thing. Yeah. But COVID hit, so that changed the plans. And that's mm-hmm. how I decided to use my journal entries and just tell my story. So that's how I created it. And yeah, there is, I think about sometimes doing a part two and trying to interview individuals. So who knows? I don't know. It was a lot of work.
Like a little documentary. I yes, think that's amazing. Like just providing space for people to share their stories and like yeah. it helps them because it's therapeutic to kind of share but also for the people who have, you know, who are going to be coming behind them, they kind of have something to use and a tool. Like, I know if I have someone in my life who is going through this, I have a resource for them.
Yeah.
You know, like, so that's, it's just amazing that you had the courage to do that, because it's not easy to talk about your story all the time. But
it's not. It's not. And I always encourage everyone, like, I think it's amazing. It's beautiful to share, because transparency does help to free other people. But you have to be ready for it. So I encourage people to share when they're ready. But I really respect that, especially fertility challenges, people, and even maternal mental health. Right. It's just there's so much shame associated with it. You question yourself, you feel guilty, you feel less than. And so it is something that you have to maybe do some work for yourself first before you may be comfortable sharing about it openly.
Right, for sure.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And speaking of the self-work, so are you taking clients? Like, how can our listeners, like, benefit from this? I wanted to also ask you about additional resources. Just for someone who may be listening now and they are either listening and saying, hey, those symptoms or those signs that she was saying, that's me. I want to get some support, or I have someone in my life that might need some support.
Yeah. Okay. So more just casual support. I always say, try to listen to a podcast like these, right? Try to find community, whether it's a Facebook page, whether it's, Peanut app or What to Expect app. Like, there's different apps that you can find community, and you can even maybe meet up with someone in your area and just build friendships, because sometimes that's really what we're lacking too, is I'm feeling lonely as a mom. My whole identity has changed, right? Like,
whole identity.
Your whole identity, right?
Like, it's having mommy friend, having mom friends really does help.
Yeah.
It really does help. And I'm glad that you said that, you know, about Facebook groups and the Peanut app and stuff, because a lot of times I hear people say, like, well, how do you find mom friends? Like, I don't have anybody around me that has children my age. And those Facebook groups, the Peanut app, like, connecting with us on social media, it does help to try to find community wherever you can find it, even if it's virtual.
In, like, even on Facebook, the mommy groups, because I'm just a really busy mom. So I follow this group that's like moms that don't know other moms or something like that. And you get to see, like, other moms who don't have as many mom friends, and they get to, like, put how they're feeling, and you just end up scrolling like, oh my goodness, okay, I feel that too. Or, okay, this is this, or okay, like, this is how I can deal with this, or, you know?
It's something it's really for everybody. Yeah. I found when I first started being a stay-at-home mom, Black stay-at-home moms, because it's not like the typical norm for Black stay-at-home moms. And so I was like, I wonder if there's a group for that.
And there was.
There is. There is. Yeah.
It's so important. Feeling connected, feeling like you're not alone, that's huge. Like, that's, so we talked about risk factors, that's a protective factor. So knowing that you have people that you can count on, and like Nicole was saying, sometimes you just read it. Just reading, like, oh, I'm not going to write today. I'm not contributing nothing. I'm just reading it, and I'm just feeling validated. I'm feeling seen. I'm like, okay, that's the medicine I needed for today. It was just like, they get me. I can now sleep, you know?
And like, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy.
Yes.
I'm not crazy. Right?
That's all you need to hear or see. And you can go on with your day, because when you're in those dark times by yourself and everything that could have possibly gone wrong that day went wrong, like your washing machine broke, the baby is teething, like you got a milk duck plug, like, you know, like,
it's painful.
Like, bruh, what else? You know, like, I can't do more. Take a mental break, go into your mommy group, like, you know, or text a friend or whatever, like, gossip.
And that's part of your self-care. That's part of self-care, right? Like, I'm going to take a few minutes to read, to write, even if it's in my group, if I'm not, you know, like, that's all, that's intentional. And that's the whole thing with self-care. It's being intentional about the time that you're making for yourself and the activities that bring you joy and peace and promote good health. So, yes. So on that basic level, that's one of my advice. If you find that you need more than that, right, you're really having a hard time, then you could look at your insurance card if you have insurance, and you can go about getting therapy that way. There's also a few websites, Postpartum Support International, therapists like myself who specialize in maternal mental health or perinatal mental health, we advertise on sites like that. So I do get clients who maybe have had experience with therapists, but really want like someone who specializes in perinatal mental health or maternal mental health, and they'll go to a website like Postpartum Support International to find a therapist. And then therapists on that site will list, you know, the type of insurances that they take, if they take any, or how much their cash rate is. So that is a way to find someone if you really feel like you need someone, like a specialty, or someone with a specialty. And then me personally, you can find me at KarenTheTherapist.com. My Instagram is Karen the Therapist. I am not taking clients at the moment, but I probably will in the summer. So as I mentioned, my 9-to-5 is with the school district, and then I have a small private practice. So sometimes in the summertime, I am able to, you know, add a few clients in, transition some people out. So if you are interested in working with me, please feel free to find me on my website. You can send me an inquiry, and I'm very responsive. So even if I can't support you, I will try to give you resources. That's important to me. Like, the journey to getting therapy is so challenging sometimes, and people get discouraged just with that. And so I really try to at least give some resources to hopefully help the individual find someone, even if it's not me.
Right.
Nice.
For sure.
That's beautiful.
You guys, and make sure you guys check out her website, because she has a lot of nice merch as well. Like I said, the sweater that I'm wearing. I don't know if you guys can see it. She redefined MILF, you guys. Can you tell them what MILF stands for?
Yes.
Yes. Mama's Intentionally Living Life Fully, or Mama Intentionally Living Life Fully. So I'm all about moms living their lives to their fullest and really prioritizing their mental well-being. And so, yeah, you can go to my shop is shopkarenthetherapist.com. And I have a lot of mom stuff, because that's what I focus on. But everything else is like wellness. It promotes, it's, you know, you're basically wearing wellness on you and you're promoting mental health. And I have a story. So there's a shirt that I wear that is on my store, and it's called, what does it say? Journaling, Reflecting, Healing. And so I was working at a school in LA, and I would wear this shirt. And one day, one of the admin assistants pulled me to the side and was like, you know what? You wore a shirt, you know, 2 weeks ago, and it just said journaling, reflecting, healing. And I've been struggling with my mental health. She didn't know. I think she knew I was a therapist, maybe. I don't know. But she was like, I've been struggling with my mental health. And I went and bought myself a journal, and that has been one of the best decisions I made. And I'm feeling so much better. I'm even thinking about maybe going to therapy, but the journaling has been amazing. So I was like, you know what? And that's what this is for. It's for me, but for you too.
Yes.
So we're making a statement.
Yes, it's so true. Like, when I wear this shirt, I always get compliments too, because people read it. They're like, what do you say?
Yeah.
And it's so comfortable. It's so cute. It's cropped.
I gotta get one.
Y'all can't see, but it's cropped. It's so cute. But it's really true about journaling too. Like, that's what helped me with my journey with my son being in the NICU. I wrote every day. And it literally is very therapeutic. Like, our days too, where I feel overwhelmed, I'm like, I just got to get it out of my head.
Yeah.
Write everything down, get it out of your head, you sleep a lot better at night. Like, so make sure you guys go ahead and get your little journal, because it definitely helps.
Sure. Absolutely. So therapeutic. Absolutely.
Yes. But thank you so much, Karen, for being here. You guys, make sure you guys check her out. We're going to have all of her information. If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to have her information below in the comments. Make sure you guys leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about this episode. And if you have any questions or anything like that, you can also contact Karen, contact us. We are here for support for you guys as well if you need any additional resources. And, you know, we're bringing awareness to maternal mental health for ourselves. And if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I need to do something, stop now, write it down, and do something, whether it's journaling or looking up some of the websites that we talked about. Just do something to get yourself on the other side of this. But thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys are following us on Instagram at Somebody's Mama Pop. We're going to leave Karen's Instagram below as well. She's very active on Instagram, you guys. She does a little bit better than us. So
a lot better than us.
But we thank you guys.
I don't think so.
Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next week. Bye.